Miss Elizabeth was born in Vienna, Austria, November 16th, 1925. And on Saturday, July 29th, 2023, at the age of 97, Miss Elizabeth passed into the presence of her Savior. She was the eldest of one brother and one sister. And growing up in the 1930s, she saw the rise of German power, which eventually spilled over into her homeland of Austria. Her life was personally affected by the events which she was made by being made to participate in the German education program established by Adolf Hitler for young people. Elizabeth's father died near the end of World War II. Elizabeth was married for a short duration, and she had no children. But in the early 1950s, she immigrated to Toronto, Canada, and soon found employment as a waitress. And after obtaining her Canadian citizenship, she moved to San Francisco, California. And it was in San Francisco that she began searching for spiritual truth. And Elizabeth came to know Jesus Christ as her personal Savior through the presentation of the gospel by Billy Graham on the television. And after spending some time employed as a waitress, Elizabeth eventually came to work for the United States Postal Service. And after retirement, Elizabeth moved from California to Rio Rancho for the lower cost of living. And then she certainly enjoyed walks in the bosque down by the river, the Rio Grande. And she had a special love for four-legged friends, cats and dogs. She really did love them. But even in retirement, Elizabeth worked part-time well into her 80s. And while living in Rio Rancho, the Lord brought new neighbors her way by the name of Kirk and Joyce Westlink. Elizabeth went over to visit her new neighbors with the intention and the purpose of inviting them to church. And that conversation was a beginning of what we call a forever friend, right? Kirk was a church planter and eventually became the first pastor of Charity Baptist Church, and Elizabeth became one of its charter members. Elizabeth loved her Savior, Jesus. She was a generous giver, faithful in prayer, willing to serve in any ministry, and many people would say you would find her at one moment in the nursery, and then the next morning or the next day cleaning the inside of the church, and when the work day came around, she was on the outside working as well. Elizabeth loved the gospel message. And in one avenue that she expressed this love for the gospel was the area of missions. She supported missionaries, loved to witness to everyone that she met. She was not shy about that. In September of 2022, Miss Elizabeth moved from her home in Rio Rancho down to southern Albuquerque with her friends Kirk and Joyce that she met so many years ago. And as Miss Elizabeth's health deteriorated, the entire Westlake family lovingly cared for her until she went to be in the presence of her Savior. We are certainly thankful for the Lord's blessing of bringing friends like Elizabeth along our path to be such a sweet part of our lives. And now our hearts rejoice in Elizabeth's faith that is now sight. She believed in Jesus, and now she sees Jesus face to face. And so let us remember her life well, and let us celebrate with her the promises that she trusted, the promises that are found in Jesus Christ alone. With that, one of the ways we want to celebrate is to sing together. So if you would, take out your blue hymn book. You'll find it right in front of you. And if you would turn to hymn number 650, and we'll sing first, I Love to Tell the Story. So if you would open up your hymnal to hymn number 650, and we'll sing together, I Love to Tell the Story. These are some of a few of Elizabeth's favorite hymns.
Yeah.
would turn back to hymn number 516. Let us sing together, Sweet Hour of Prayer. That's hymn number 516. Let us turn to hymn number 616, and let us stand together and sing Dwelling in Beulah Land. So that's hymn 616, if you would stand together, please.
Yeah.
Thank you. You may be seated. What we want to do is take a moment to set aside a portion of God's sacred scripture, one that reminds us of God's promises and the desires of our hearts. The scripture reading is taken from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh and my adversaries and my foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in the shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, O Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of mine enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. I think these verses express the cry of Miss Elizabeth's heart through her life and through death and into life everlasting. Let us pray. Father, we are so thankful for this opportunity that you have given us to sing praises to your name because of the promises that you give us. And all the while we are thinking about the one that we loved that is here with us but is now with you, Miss Elizabeth. So Lord, as we turn and we remember her and think about her, Lord, and then we open your word and hear your truth and your promises from it, Lord, would you guide us by your sweet presence, the presence of your Holy Spirit. Let our words be edifying. Lord, let them lift up your name with glory and honor. And Lord, let us honor well the life that Miss Elizabeth lived, a life of grace. Lord, we ask this in your precious son's name, Jesus. Amen. Now, what we have here now is a time of basically of testimony from the congregation, but I'm going to begin that. And it says eulogy here, but it's not really a eulogy. It's just a time of remembrance of Miss Elizabeth. And I knew Miss Elizabeth a little over 1 year, just a little over 1 year. But three things specifically stood out to me from her life. That is honesty, her heart for people, and her heart for Jesus. Honesty. Miss Elizabeth was a wonderfully honest, transparent person. You usually did not know, have any trouble knowing where she stood on a particular issue or how she felt about a particular thing, right? So one morning I came in and she noticed that I had my hair cut, right? And she's commented, "Oh, Pastor, you got your hair cut." And I said, "Yes, absolutely." And I said, "You know, I cut it myself." You know what she says? "I can tell." That's just Miss Elizabeth, right? You exactly know where she stood. She was quick to let you know what she thought, but she was quick to speak a sweet word. Oh, if your heart was troubled and she saw that, she would speak right to that. I don't know how many times, even today, I've heard that, right? Oh, she came along to me and said this to me or to my family. Or she wasn't slow to give a compliment where a compliment was due. So her honesty was a two-edged sword. It cut both ways and it blessed. So one thing I remember about Miss Elizabeth is her honesty. Wonderfully transparent honesty. She also had a heart for people. Miss Elizabeth loved people. With the love that Jesus loved people with. So, like I said, we were only here for a little over a year. But during that time, we had a baby. Well, actually, my wife had a baby. Elizabeth was still here when we had Ellen. And one of the things that she wanted to do, but she was very nervous about, was to hold her. She loved people. She wanted to hold Ellen, but she was real nervous. So we sat down and sat on one of these chairs here, and she held little tiny Ellen in her lap. And the smile on that 97 years, probably 96 in, was as young as Ellen's. And at that moment, the oldest person of our church family and the youngest person of our church family was sitting there together. She loved people. With the love that Jesus loved people. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me." So she was a very honest person, and yet she had a heart for people, and she had a heart for her Savior, Jesus. Miss Elizabeth loved Jesus. Why? Because she knew that Jesus first loved her, and that he had given her his life for her, rescued her from her sins, brought her into fellowship through his death, burial, and resurrection. She loved Jesus, and she was not afraid or bashful to speak the glories of his name. In her last couple of years of her life, she opened up the doors of her house every Wednesday and invited anybody who wanted to come pray to pray. That's how much she loved Jesus. She wanted people to come into her house, and she wanted them to gather together, and she wanted them to pray to the person that she loved together. She did that until she left here and went down to Albuquerque. That's how much she loved Jesus. She loved to hear Jesus speak through the Word of God, and she loved to speak to her Lord through prayer. So when I think of Miss Elizabeth, those are the three things that come to my mind. A very honest, sweetly honest woman. A woman who loved people with all of her heart. And a person who loved Jesus with every fiber in her being. That is one of the ways, or the three ways that I remember Miss Elizabeth. Now, we want to open it up to the congregation. If there's anything that you would like to share, any memory of Miss Elizabeth, now is the time to do it. And just raise your hand and we'll bring a microphone your way and you can share that at this time. Yes, Miss Lisa?
And don't worry, we've got fresh batteries in the mic and a whole box over there, so we're good.
Oh, dear. I just wanted to let you know. She was a wonderful, and still is, a wonderful woman. Mm. I want to be like her. Mm-hmm. She was always so much, so kind to my family and my grandkids. And even the troubles that my little grandson had, she was always so good to him. Mm-hmm. And she got to meet, she spent a lot of time with Kate and my older one. And she would always give him hugs and loves at church when he'd come. And I had a service dog that I worked with me for a while. She was my girl. And every time I walked in the church with the dog, she would come over there and give her a treat. She always brought treats, and she'd always give us a bag of treats as well. And so her love for animals is definitely honest. She loved them. And I really honor the time I had with her and to be able to spend the time I had with her. And I know she's happy, and that's what she wanted, yes. And I'm happy for her.
Praise the Lord.
My wife and I have probably known Elizabeth for close to 30, 35 years. If you knew Elizabeth, you found out very quickly she was a Christian. And she would challenge you as to what you believed. She would invite you to her church. She would invite you to know Jesus Christ. She was so open and loving. She was an extremely generous person. We lived fairly close to her. She always needed something. She would go out and purchase something she couldn't put together. She needed this and that. When I had legs, I used to do her swamper. And she always wanted to pay me. I told her, Elizabeth, please. She wouldn't hear of that. She was just a beautiful, beautiful person. She was the prayer warrior of Charity Baptist Church for years and years and years. Rest in peace, Elizabeth. She's with her Lord and Savior. That's what she wanted. That's what she really wanted.
Well, since I have the mic, if you were a visitor at Charity Baptist, Elizabeth was usually one of the first people to greet you after the service, if not before. Mm-hmm. And I chalk it up to her long life and years of seeing the best and worst of humanity, that if Elizabeth had an opinion, well, first of all, she wasn't afraid to share it, as mm-hmm. Pastor alluded to, but you should really, really listen to her because she knew what she was talking about.
When I came to Charity and met Elizabeth, I found out that she had an accent, mm-hmm. and I asked her, "Sind Sie Deutsch?" Mm-hmm. And it started right off. We hit it right off in German, and she told me something of her past, that she was a member of the BDM. That's the Bund Deutscher Mädel, the girls' equivalent of the Hitler Youth. But she didn't speak about it. She went right back to the subject of the Lord Jesus and how did you come to know the Lord Jesus? I know that she probably saw a lot of the worst in humanity during the war. The Germans invaded or took over. It was called the Anschluss of Austria in 1938. So she was in her early 20s when that happened. And then she would have had to join the BDM. And so she didn't want to talk about that. She always wanted to talk about the Lord Jesus. And she would give me a Baptist, Baptist Bulletin, the magazine, after she went through it. She faithfully brought it and gave it to us to review. So she just loved the Lord and loved people. And that's what I appreciate most about her. And her legacy can be seen in this room. Mm-hmm. Everybody is smiling as they think about her. And also, it's a lesson for each one of us that we all have an influence on our family, on friends. For the Lord Jesus, mm-hmm. we have an opportunity to witness to them, to say how much he means to us. And if a person doesn't know the Lord Jesus, take the opportunity to give them your testimony of how you became. That's what she did. And she's a wonderful example, and she's just in her glory right now with her Savior, and I envy her in a way. Thank you.
I'm going to try my hardest not to cry. Mm-hmm. My name is Tammy. I'm just like everyone else here, I'm a neighbor. I've known her for 16 years. Mm. I was a single mom when I moved into my home, and she was the first one to welcome me. And she was just amazing to me. And I have a story about my pet dog. My dog's name was Sniffy. We had adopted him. My son and I had adopted him. And we had lived at the house for probably 3 or 4 months. And we brought him home, and we went to go show Miss Elizabeth. And she gave us a dog house and a dog bowl. She just had these things at her house. That's just how she was. And then a big bag of dog food and everything. Well, that little dog ran away the first day we got him. And so we went looking around the neighborhood, me and my little boy, my oldest son. He's not here today, but he was 5 years old, and he was crying, and he was so sad. And she told us, her honesty and transparency, she said, if you just got him, he's probably not going to come back. And, you know, she was just being honest. And so we went looking around the neighborhood, and we went walking around, and an hour later we come to the backyard, and he was in the backyard. And she said, well, he picked you, not you picked him. And ever since then, she walked him all the time when I couldn't walk him because I worked full time. And she always, she loved that dog. And we used to call her Sniffy's grandma.
Getting in my steps.
Yeah, okay. I just have a few little vignettes, little Elizabeth stories. And we all know Elizabeth said what she thought, and it just kind of popped out. Right? Okay. So one, we were looking at pictures, and there was a picture that was taken of us ladies at Ladies Retreat. And we're all standing there, and it's all wonderful. And Elizabeth looks at that picture, and she goes, you're not very photogenic. And then she tops it off with, but I am. That's Elizabeth. That's Elizabeth. And, okay, so then here's another one. I went to Albertsons, and this was, you know, Elizabeth was still at home in Rio Rancho, and I went to Albertsons, and I thought, oh, I know how much Elizabeth likes ice cream. I'm just going to get a couple of little tubs of ice, little ones, like, a pint? Yeah, the little, so, and I knew she loved vanilla the best, so I got her vanilla, got me chocolate, came to the house, and she looks at it, and she goes, you didn't get the big ones? Yeah. And we, John and I, took Elizabeth to Rio Doso one time. And John, for some reason, I can't remember, we were in separate cars. And so I drove Elizabeth home. And, you know, it's about 3 hours. And you all remember Elizabeth had quite a few little altercations with other cars, right? Right? She had a few crashes. And I invited her to go to Rio Doso again another time, and she was like, no, you drive too slow. I'm like, oh my. Okay. And then we had, okay, just a couple more. I had a little Bichon, you know, little white dog, and Elizabeth would take care of the Bich. His name was Robbie, and she had her little Cheyenne, remember her little dog? And, Robbie kind of, I let him onto my bed once, right? That was the end of it. Robbie would not sleep anywhere else but on the bed, and then that evolved into under the covers. So I had to lift up the covers and, you know, under he'd go. And then he'd roll over and just kind of let out a, and I would let out a, and off to sleep we'd go. Well, when Elizabeth then took care of Robbie, she told me that her Cheyenne had to sleep in the living room. And my little Robbie was on, not only on the bed, he demanded to be under the covers. Okay, and this is the last one, forgive me. John had you know, a statue of a burro that you see, it's common around here. And it's on our drive, as you go up our driveway and you kind of go around the corner, the curve, the burrow is there next to a nice yucca, and it makes a nice, just looks nice. And so Elizabeth, we're driving up, and Elizabeth looks at that, and she goes, "I like John's ass." And then she went, "Oh!" And you know, Elizabeth never said a curse word or anything, but "I like John's ass" just popped right out. And we laughed and laughed and laughed. So that's Elizabeth. I love you. You're in heaven with your Savior. Hallelujah.
I've known Elizabeth for 30 years or more. Recognize a lot of faces here. This is going to be a tough act to follow, Dorothy. She's all prepared. But I remember Elizabeth was here when the church, when the doors were opening and it was being planted and Pastor and Joyce were here. But Elizabeth would sit in one of these rows right here in the front with all the other ladies and some of the people. She would greet John and Dorothy. She'd see Dick, Carol, and a number of other ladies that were in the church here over the years. And she was always excited to be singing about, you know, the praise of the Lord. She would be the one in the row clapping her hands and excited. And when we had Sunday school and we had church, she was here. She was here when the doors were open. I remember that. And it was always a privilege to have Elizabeth in our home for dinner, holidays, and so forth. So we'll cherish the memories of Elizabeth.
Hmm. Plenty of battery left. Plenty.
There's not much I can add, but when we first started this church, Elizabeth was like the pillar, always there. She helped build the building with Pastor Kirk, and she held the Bible study at her home, and she had many other ministries. She was in prison ministry, and she had such a heart for the youth. She was always, giving them little advice and asking them to, you know, behave or show them how to crush cans or different things like that. So she was just a major influence in our starting of the church.
So I've known Elizabeth for about 30 years, too, and she's been here every time the doors were open, and she was faithful, and she did love the Lord. And I remember one time, you know, that people sometimes stand out on the corner handing out tracts or holding signs about Jesus, and we were talking about that, and she said, you know, the Lord works in different ways with different people, and you don't know, you know, if that particular sign was there and it just touched somebody's heart. So she knew that the Lord was at work, and she trusted him, and she was really a pillar in our church, and we miss her, but we're so glad that she is rejoicing in heaven. This is where she wants to be.
Amen. So anybody that's spent any amount of time with Elizabeth, the past few years especially, knew that her deepest desire was to be home with her Lord and Savior. And this morning I was reading the lyrics of a Ron Hamilton song, and it's entitled "Home at Last." When at last my life has ended and I enter heaven's rest, I will live in God's eternal peace in the dwelling of the blessed. All my pain will then be over. Earthly cares will all fade away. Golden light will glisten from the throne of God. No more night, just perfect day. Going home, going home, I will enter there by grace alone. Oh, what joys my heart has never known. Going home, every sin will be forgotten, every tear will then be past. I will rest within my Father's house, safely home, home at last.
I've known Elizabeth my whole life. I don't think I remember this church without her. So it's been great. And seeing her at the end of her life as well, with her living with mom and dad. And it was a challenge. It wasn't easy. But taking care of her and stuff, it was a lot of work, but it was also a joy. And I didn't get to see her too bad much in the dumps because I always had the boys with me. And whenever they walked in, she got that big old grin on her face, and she wanted to hold Richie. And it was kind of cool that she was able to go up to the Bahamas when we went and buried Nevin. And she was like, I want to be buried up here too. And so that was kind of cool, being able to do that for her. But yeah, she wasn't just at church for me. She was my neighbor. Mm-hmm. And so I saw her all the time as a kid. And then when we moved, we didn't get to see her quite as much. But it's been really cool just growing up around her. And she was always such a good role model and stuff for us. So, yeah.
Terry and I moved there, I guess, to Rio Rancho, River's Edge in about 2015. We quickly met Elizabeth, and we eventually got two rescue dogs that probably knew her better than we did. Every morning, without fail, someone would walk by or jog by, and they would try to be aggressive, bark at the fence and everything, but when they heard her, whether she was walking or using her walker, they could hear that before we could even see her. So they were at the fence with their tails wagging, just wait for her to turn the corner. So she always brought treats and everything. But I found out she didn't just love cats, dogs, no, she everything on four legs, two legs, wings, it doesn't matter. Yeah. You know, but one day she came and she said, can you do me a favor? I'm out of lettuce. And I said, yeah, you want me to go to the store? And she goes, yes, I need some lettuce. Okay. So Terry and I went to the store. We got her some lettuce. She goes, no, not this. They don't like that. And I thought, what are you talking about? The rabbits. She said, I put it out there and it just rots. They don't like that. They like romaine. And I said, okay. And while you're there, I need some ice cream. So we went to the store, and then I came back, and she goes, okay, I guess this will do. And I said, well, what now? She said, I like going to Costco. They have the best romaine lettuce. So I had to kind of memorize all these things. So we finally gave it to her, and then we would walk around, and I'd see all these little pieces of lettuce or carrots. She liked to drop them everywhere, just even on the bosque. She would just drop carrots. So she was kind of like the first ever dog whisperer I have ever met. So she knew our dogs very well. She came by one day, and I do remember one time, she says, you need to take her to the vet. She doesn't feel well. And they were both acting normal to me. But she goes, she's losing weight. There's something wrong. And she was right. Anyway, we appreciate everything she did for us and our furry friends, but I've never met anybody like her, and she is now, because I know she told me herself, she is where she wants to be. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
There's always one more dog story. And Elizabeth was the local dog walker, right? She would leave her house and go through the neighborhood collecting dogs. So, you know, she would have 3-4 plus dogs walking around. And this one fellow, she would greet everybody, of course. And this one fellow says, well, how many dogs do you have? He says, well, I don't have any dogs. I love them all, though.
Mm-hmm. So I've known Elizabeth since I was born, so 26 years. But I didn't, and I remember the first memory of her was when my mom took me as a very little girl to her house so they could go pray together. And I think that was the first time I ever remember being asked if I wanted to pray too. But I remember growing up and I was like, I didn't see the value of prayer like they did. And I was always thinking, well, we're just always asking God for things. That seems kind of demanding. But over the years, you know, I grew to value prayer because I always remembered it's important to Elizabeth. It's important to my mom. It must mean something. And so I always remembered that. And over the years, we didn't have much interaction too much with her except for maybe a Christmas here or a yard sale there. But she'd always call the house to talk to my dad, and I'd pick up, and she'd always ask, how's your dog, Valerie? Do you have a boyfriend yet, Valerie? Why not? And then, how's your family? And but I remember as she got older, she's like, I don't know why I'm still here. I'm ready to go to heaven. And I'd say, well, maybe I need a prayer warrior. Pray for me. Pray for my family. And then when she came to stay with us this past year, I know that it was really painful for her to linger, and very humbling for her to be taken care of. But those last few months with her, I learned to serve in a way that I didn't expect anything in return, and a patience that was true. So I appreciate that precious time we had with her, even though she was ready to go.
I remembered another dog story. So her dear friend that she would go places with when we first knew her had a dog, and Elizabeth came to church one time and it looked like she had been in a fight, and she had been walking the friend's dog and fallen. So, but she made light of it, you know, oh, the poor dog wasn't hurt at all.
I remember a lot about Elizabeth. One thing was her strength. She sat up there in front, and during between Sunday school and church, we would usually get together, and there was just something, you know, about it when I felt her strength. And one of the things that I always remember when we had our prayer meetings, she never failed to pray for the peace of Israel. Mm-hmm. And that's something we can all do mm-hmm. right now, is to remember to pray for that. Mm-hmm. And to try and be a little more humorous, but Sherry and I were talking about how Elizabeth was very outspoken and wanted to go home so badly. Mm-hmm. And that's all she wanted to do, was to go home. And we had visions of her seeing the Lord and shaking his hand and saying, Lord, what took you so long? I've been waiting for months to come and be with you. And I know now she is very happy. But let's remember to pray for her strength mm-hmm. in ourselves, and to pray for the peace of Israel is in remembrance of her.
She reminds me of Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Mm-hmm. And that just came into my mind. That's Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. As we can see the testimonies for Miss Elizabeth, I think they could go on for a long time. anybody who was within her sphere of influence for any amount of time began to pick up on these personality traits and her Christ-likeness, and how the Lord used her particular personality in a particular way in our lives to change our hearts. And as we think about that, what we want to think about is her great faith that she had in her Savior. She loved Jesus. And she followed Jesus in life. Miss Elizabeth wasn't perfect, but none of us are. But she followed Jesus because he's a God of grace. And then in life, and then she followed Jesus all the way in life, and then through death, and now she sees him face to face in life everlasting. And may that be the example. I think it would be the example or the testimony of the gospel of God is what she would want us to take with us, that Jesus is worthy to pursue in life, through death, and until you see him face to face. I'm going to ask Pastor Kurt, that forever friend, so many times you just go to come and open up the word for us.
Thank you, brother. Elizabeth Schweiger moved to Rio Rancho, New Mexico from San Francisco, California in September of 1990. Hers was the last house in the neighborhood. We had moved there in January of that year, and we were across the street of our side yard. We were a corner lot, and she was on our side yard. She had not been there for 1 week before she made her way across the street as my wife and I were working on our naked backyard to try to make it less naked. And shortly within that visit, she asked the question, "Where do you go to church?" And I said, "Well, that's something exciting to ask me because we're going to be starting a church a week from this Sunday." And she said, "Well, I'm not a Baptist." Well, she said, "What kind of church?" "Baptist church." She said, "Well, I'm not a Baptist, but I'll come the first week just to encourage you." I said, "Well, I appreciate that." It was 33 years ago. I was 28. That's good. She was then what my age is now. And she came to our first service that was not here on this property. It was across the street at the school. The school wasn't completed, so we met in a tent. And she was there. And then she kept coming back week after week. And after several months of this, I approached her and I said, "Elizabeth, you assured me that you were not a Baptist. And in fact, I've heard you speak about your friends in California being very concerned that you're attending a Baptist church." Pretty sure she was losing her salvation because of it. I said, "What's the deal? Why do you keep attending our church?" And she had a dual response. She started off by saying, "You keep preaching God's word, and that is what I want to hear." And so she came to hear God's word. And so we're going to spend some time in God's word this morning, because that is what drew Elizabeth to this church, and that was the love of her life, was to hear the stories of Jesus, to hear God's word proclaimed. If you want to know the other reason she gave me, it is kind of personal. I really haven't shared it with anyone, so I'm not going to give it to you. No, I will. She said, "Pastor, you're my match." And what she meant by that was that I believe what she meant by that was I was as stubborn as her, as opinionated as her, and I was willing to match her. And those of you who have watched our relationship over these last 33 years have wondered at that, because sometimes in public that seems almost adversarial, but it was not. We love one another. But she said, "You're the only one that would rebuke me when I needed rebuking." A week before her death, that had to happen. And she said, "I've been waiting for you to talk to me like this again." And so we have enjoyed a very strong relationship with one another, sometimes envied by some of my own family members, because having Joyce there wasn't enough, having kids there wasn't enough, she wanted pastor there, because I was her match in her mind. We share a love for God's word, and for the gospel and for the Lord Jesus Christ that it proclaims. She also had a great love for Israel, as someone had spoken already this morning. She loved and prayed for Jerusalem. She loved prophecy. And she saw not the place, but the people, but more importantly, that this is a place identified by God as his place. And so it was not the streets and buildings and topography of Jerusalem that she loved, but the promises of God that were directed through Jerusalem. So this morning, because of her love for God's word, because of her love for Jerusalem, I'll be reading a lengthy passage from Isaiah 61 and going into chapter 62. God's word declares, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because of which he anointed me. He sent me to proclaim good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to declare the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of recompense, and to comfort all who mourn, to give those who mourn in Zion glory instead of ashes, and the oil of gladness to those who mourn, the garment of glory instead of a spirit of indifference. They shall be called generations of righteousness, the planting of the Lord for glory. They shall build the ancient deserts, raise up those formerly abandoned, and renew the desert cities that laid waste for generations. Foreigners shall come and shepherd your sheep, and aliens shall be your plowmen and vine dressers. But you shall be called priests of the Lord and the ministers of God. You shall eat the strength of nations and be admired because of their wealth. So they shall inherit the land a second time, and eternal gladness shall be upon their head. For I am the Lord, who loves righteousness and hates robberies of wrongdoing. I will give their labor to the righteous and will make them an everlasting covenant. Their seed and their offspring shall be known among the Gentiles. All who see them shall know that these are the seed blessed by God, and they shall have exceeding gladness in the Lord. Let my soul rejoice exceedingly in the Lord. For he clothed me with the garment of salvation and the tunic of gladness. He put a mitre around me like a bridegroom, adorned me with ornaments like a bride. As the earth causes its flower to grow, and as a garden its seeds, so shall the Lord cause righteousness to rise up, and exceedingly joy before all the Gentiles. For Zion's sake, I will not be silent, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until my righteousness goes forth as light and my salvation burns like a lamp. The Gentiles will see your righteousness and kings your glory, and one will call you by your new name, which the Lord shall name. And you shall also be a crown of beauty in the Lord's hand and the diadem of a kingdom in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be called forsaken, and your land shall no longer be called desert, for you shall be called my will, and in your land the inhabited earth. As a young man lives in wedlock with a virgin, so shall your sons dwell with you, and as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so the Lord shall rejoice over you. I will place guards on your walls all day and all night, O Jerusalem, who shall never keep silent in the remembrance of the Lord, for there shall be no one like you, O Jerusalem, when he amends and makes you the pride of the earth. The Lord swore by his right hand, and by the strength of his arm, I will not give your grain and your food to your enemies, and the sons of foreigners shall not drink your wine for which you labored, but rather those who gather the food shall eat it and praise the Lord, and those who gather the grapes shall drink their wine in my holy courts. Go through my gates, make a way for my people, throw the stones off the road and lift up a standard for the Gentiles. For behold, the Lord caused this to be heard to the ends of the earth. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your Savior is come and has his reward and his work before his face. One shall call them a holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called a city sought for and not forsaken." Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at one of his very first sermons, read from this passage. He was in his hometown of Nazareth, speaking to in a synagogue where he was raised, where every single person, I am certain, knew who he was. for he was faithfully raised in the community of the Jews of Nazareth. He read from this in Luke chapter 4, only the first few verses, and declared to the listeners that day that they were able to hear these verses accomplished in their midst that very day. For Jesus Christ is the conclusion of this. It is the beginning that he was there to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to declare the acceptable year of the Lord. We have God incarnate speaking to his own people, speaking from their scriptures of a day they had longed for generations, a day when the Messiah would come, proclaim it, not in Jerusalem, but in this backwards place called Nazareth. And you would think that it would be well received, and certainly people were in awe and in wonder. And Luke records that the power and the effect and the authority by which he spoke and spoke these words. He really just read them and said, "Today it's been fulfilled in your presence," and sat down. And then they inquired and investigated it with him, and he further gave more information. You would think, oh, what a tremendous response he's going to get. No. He declared this good news, and that's what the word gospel means, is good news. He declared the good news of why he had come. He had come for the deliverance of men from the ravages of sin upon them, not only in society at large, but in their own lives, in their own hearts, in their own minds. He had come to deliver men from sin. That was the acceptable day of the Lord. That is the purpose of Christ's coming. That is what all of this passage and so many others out of their Bible declared. And he revealed that it was time. It was the day. It was the accomplishment was happening. He had lived among them for over 30 years. They had watched him grow up. And he really was a perfect kid. His parents were there. They knew him. They certainly knew his story, I would think. You say, they will respond now. They will lift him up and say, our local boy is the Messiah. We are the ones who get to carry him off to Jerusalem to become King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But that is not how that day ended. For you see, the revelation of God and even by Jesus Christ himself preaching and reading out the scriptures we have just read today before the people of God who were there to listen to the word of God ended in disaster. For by the end of that service, they were taking him out to a cliff to throw him over and kill him. Why? One of your own sons. A man you had washed and certainly had respect for, who was honoring to his parents, who fulfilled the law in every respect, who comes before you now having been baptized of John and the Holy Spirit had come upon him, having had the revelation of John saying, behold, the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. Certainly, they would respond. But they did not. Their response was to want to kill him. And as they took him and physically carried him to that cliff and were about to throw him off, the Bible says he simply exercised some of his divine authority and walked through them and away, never to return to Nazareth in the capacity of their preacher. He went down to Galilee, to Capernaum, and began to minister there in that region. I want to share with you that for Elizabeth, she came to Christ on a long road. You might say, where did her love for Israel come from? Well, it was understanding that if you're going to love the Lord, you're going to love what he loves. And she knows the Lord loves his people. He had made promises to Israel, and he would keep them, and those promises are still in place, and those promises, we are still waiting for them to be to come to completion. It is a marvel that in her lifetime, something came into existence that hadn't been in existence for hundreds of years, and that was a nation state called Israel. She saw that come into existence in her lifetime, in some of your lifetimes. And that got her excited, for God is not unfaithful. He will keep his promises. And so Elizabeth, though, didn't start there. That's where she was at when she came to us. She moved from Toronto to San Francisco because of her good friends, Maria and Helmut, who got really tired of Canada. I had a 45-minute conversation with Maria the day before, on the 28th, when Elizabeth was unable to speak with her. And she said, Elizabeth was an orphan. Her father had been killed at the end of the war. Her mother had already passed. So we still told her to come with us. And by the way, Pastor, Elizabeth never cared for her own hair. She never washed her own hair in her entire adult life. So that's why she would care about that. It always had to be professionally done. So Maria and Helmut brought her there, and then they got tired of that, wanted to go back to Austria. This was a little bit more time after the war. Things had been started to rebuild there. There were more opportunities there opening up for Austrians to return. But she wanted to stay in San Francisco, and while there, she said, one of the things we did was we made fun of Christians. That was what her life was like. She only listened to them, and she only went to the services to make fun of them. She laughed at them. She ridiculed them. And then she went and wanted to listen to Billy Graham and say, okay, they talk about this guy. And then the Holy Spirit began to convict her. And that which she once ridiculed, she then embraced. And she turned from her sin to her Savior, Jesus Christ. And when she turned, she didn't turn a little bit, because like me, Elizabeth is a pretty committed person. Once she commits to something, if it's your dog or cat, it's over, it's hers. You know that. Once she committed to this church, it was done. She was committed 100%. She was a passionate person in that sense. And so she was not going to be committed to Christ part way or a little ways. It was the entirety of what she would define herself as. She is a follower of Jesus Christ. And so she would love everything her Lord loved. She would do everything her Lord spoke of. She would trust in her Lord, for that's what he spoke of for her and for all of us. And so she wasn't going to follow Jesus a little bit. She was not going to. She surrendered her entire life to Jesus Christ and followed him with all her heart, all her mind, all her soul, and all her strength. And so because of that, she fell in love with a people that God loves. And that was Israel. But it wasn't just Israel. It was the church as well. And it wasn't just the church. It was all people. For the Bible declares that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's not just for Jewish people or Israelites. The gospel, the good news that Jesus declared here, that was there in his person, by his presence on the earth, that was the day the Lord would keep that promise, was for all men. Do you notice how frequently in chapter 61, 62 of Isaiah, he keeps going back to the Gentiles, the Gentiles, the Gentiles, that we would be the benefactors of Christ coming to his own. But his own didn't receive him. His own in Nazareth wanted to kill him that day. His ministry would have been over the day it started. But his own rejected him. And 3 years later would be screaming out in a Roman court, crucify him, crucify him. You see, Christ came not only for Israel, but he came for all the nations, for all men. This is the good news Jesus wanted to declare. That God is faithful. This is the good news that Elizabeth gave her life to. She did not ease into this, but she was radically transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. From one who ridiculed religion to one who embraced it with all of her heart. And so she prayed for Jerusalem. She prayed for the nations. She prayed for all of you. Because God loves you. And Elizabeth loved her God. And that demanded that she love you. Well, there's also something interesting about God is that he's pretty much committed to the truth. Whether it's politically correct or not. And there are enemies of the truth all about us and within us sometimes, for we don't like to acknowledge the truth that often humbles us, requires us to change our thinking, change our behaviors, change our priorities, change our beliefs. Elizabeth was willing to do that. After several years of being in our church, she would come to me and say, Pastor, I've just come across something in my observations. And I was like, okay. She said, and of course, she was very much, because she came to the Lord really through media, through the Billy Graham Crusade, she was very committed to media, and not all those individuals were full of the truth. And so she came to me and she says, I've been reading my Bible, and surprise. Everywhere that people are God's friends, they fall down on their face before him. Everywhere where God's people are his enemy, or people are God's enemies, they fall backwards from him. And she said, look at this, what's going on in this TV show. And of course, I don't watch those shows. She says, look at how they fall backwards instead of forwards. Because when you come to Christ, you should always fall on your face, because that is humility. That is a choice of your will to humble yourself before God and seek him. To be pushed onto your back, to fall on your back, is either you're overwhelmed by the power that you are opposed to, or that you are going away from God instead of toward him. And I said, well, you've come a long ways. You see, it used to be that I was being compared to all of them, and now they're all being compared to God's word in her mind and in her life. Brethren, today you have a choice. You have a choice to respond as Elizabeth did. I don't know what your relationship has been with God in the past. I don't care really what you've said about him previously. I don't care what your attitude is today. I want you to know that God loves you. And because he loves you, he sent his son to die in your place. And he did that on Calvary's cross. But that death wasn't the conclusion. While Israel is blamed repeatedly in the book of Acts, you crucified him, Peter says. You crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. And the power of the resurrection is that which gives us victory over sin and death. And it is that victory that we celebrate today. For it is that sure hope of the believer that to be absent from our bodies, to be present with the Lord, that in fact the promises of God will be kept, for he is faithful. Just as he is faithful to Israel, he'll be faithful to we who have placed our trust in him. He'll be faithful to Elizabeth, who put her trust in him. But today you have the decision whether you will place your trust in him. His love is unwavering, but so is his commitment to the truth. And the truth is that your sin qualifies you for one thing and one thing only, and that is eternal judgment. That is the truth. It might offend you. You might want to throw me over a cliff. Nothing new there. I think sometimes Elizabeth wanted to throw me over a cliff every now and then. It may offend you to hear the truth, for the world would have you believe that you can define right and wrong by your own mind, by your own feelings even. But the Bible declares that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that we are all in an active state of disobedience to God, and therefore the truth of the matter that Christ is committed to, that God must hold by, is that sin requires punishment. And that punishment is eternal separation from God. That is every man's future without Christ. That is the reality. That is the truth. Does it offend? Yes. It offended Elizabeth. For years it offended her. That's why she ridiculed it. Because she didn't want to acknowledge it, that truth. She had seen the wickedness of men. She had seen it perpetrated in war. She had seen it perpetrated in her own father, shot in the back by the Russians. He was just an interpreter. He had no weapon. She'd seen evil, but she had rejected that she had any part of it. Until one day, she was confronted with the truth. And she was willing to acknowledge it. And perhaps for some of you today, this is that day. When you're confronted with the truth. And that truth is that your sin requires punishment. You can either hold on to that yourself, and you will face your punishment and be sure that every knee will bow before God, either to be entered into his presence or to be entered into eternal punishment. That is the promise of God. There is no intermediate position here in Scripture at all. You have a choice to cling to your sin, to hold on to it. And if you hold on to your sin, there is something interesting. You hold on to its consequence and its punishment. You own it. It's yours, and you will pay it. That's another concept our modern world is trying to divorce itself from. We can go out and borrow and not repay. That doesn't work. It's not the truth. God works in justice. But there's an alternative. And that alternative is Jesus Christ. And God saw our dilemma, our separation, and he sent his son to pay the penalty on your behalf. So you today have an opportunity either to cling to your sin and your pride and to be offended and to walk out of here thinking, well, Elizabeth was a nice lady, but this guy, he's obnoxious. Well, so was she. You all admitted it. Because you have been convinced that people who tell you the truth that you don't like to hear are obnoxious. What is the most loving thing Elizabeth could ever do? And it's the most loving thing I can do. I don't know all of you. But I love the one who loved you enough to send his son to die for you. But it's your choice whether you want to cling to your sin or give it to Jesus Christ. That's your choice today. And praise the Lord that one day Elizabeth was confronted with that, acknowledged her sin, and surrendered herself to Jesus Christ to make him her Lord. And there is a new name. This passage talks about a new name. It says, the Gentiles will see your righteousness, the kings your glory, and one will call you by your new name, which the Lord shall name. There's something interesting that our family has observed now that we have been going through Elizabeth's papers, and she was meticulous with her papers. I have bank statements from the 50s, okay? I'm meticulous. And the one picture you saw here was her Canadian passport. She still had that. I think she had all of her passports from over this decades. Where was I going with this? Her name, thank you. Elizabeth changed her name. Just one letter. We were trying to figure out when that happened. And so I was going through the passports. I was going through all the documentation because I have her birth certificate. I have all of those certificates. I'm trying to figure out when she changed that one letter. Her name was Elizabeth with an S. But by the time she left San Francisco, she was Elizabeth with a Z in all of her documents. I don't know if she ever made it official when that occurred, during her time in the post office perhaps, but I am wondering if it had something to do with the new Elizabeth when she met Jesus in San Francisco so many years ago. That's just my projecting, but from everything I could tell, it kind of lines up with that event in her life. Christ says, I'll give you a new name. Jesus in John describes as being born again. This is the offer of God. He will redeem you, it says. And he will call you a holy people who are not a holy people. But he will call you that. Because he will now own your sin. He will now, because he takes ownership of your sin. In fact, the Bible says on the cross he became sin for you. That was that time of darkness, where the darkness not just over the hill of Calvary, but over the entire earth. And we know that because it was recorded in various places. Specifically, the most well recorded is in China. Recorded this unusual 3 hours of darkness. They said somebody died for men. During that darkness was when Jesus was separated from the Father. That is when he became sin for men. But only if you let him, for he will not override your will. You must choose to either hold on to your sin and its consequence of death, of misery, of judgment, or you can trust in Jesus Christ today that you might give that to him. And instead of being ruled by sin and Satan being your father, be ruled by righteousness of Christ, of God, redeemed of the Lord, and you will be never forsaken as you follow after him. I invite you to make that decision today. Not half-heartedly, for there are great dangers in that, but to do it in the same fashion that Elizabeth did it, with all of her heart, mind, soul, and strength. She trusted in the Lord. And he has been faithful to her. And he still is today. So we are here celebrating Elizabeth. It would be wrong for us not to celebrate that which was most precious to her. And that is not the dogs, not the cats, not the church, not you. It was her Lord. And him we will sing praises to this day. Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for interrupting Elizabeth's life with the gospel and transforming her to give her a new name, a new life. And all of us here really only know her in her newness. None of us really were acquainted with her prior to her introduction to you. And so we reflect upon her commitment to you, and we have benefited from it. We have benefited by her loving attention, by her willingness to be honest and playful with us even in that respect, and her willingness to share with us the truth of the gospel. Lord, our prayer is that you might be glorified in our midst and that you might work in our hearts and minds, that we might similarly be committed today to becoming followers of your name and becoming new. Lord, we know that you have called today as the day of salvation. This is the acceptable day of the Lord, of good news. And Lord, help it to penetrate by your conviction our pride, our easily offended attitudes, that we might humble ourselves, fall on our face before you, and seek what only you can provide. Help us, Lord, do that not only today, but every day. We might follow after you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's rooms are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Has been a sweet remembrance of a wonderful life. Thank you, Lord. It's been a sweet remembrance of a wonderful life. And a sweet celebration of a life now in the presence of Jesus. We want to invite everybody to some food and fellowship afterwards. There'll be just a quick time of transition, so if you're able to move a little bit of chairs and roll some tables, please feel free to help us out. If you're not, just make your way to the edges, and we'll take care of it. With that said, let us pray and thank the Lord for the food and for this wonderful time together. Into your hands, O merciful Savior, do we commend your servant, Miss Elizabeth. Acknowledge, we pray, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming, and just enfold her in your arms of your mercy. And may the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and may she enjoy the glorious company of the saints in light. It's in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that we ask these things. Amen.